Reports of Committee on Internal Affairs are now come to order. It is 8:05 a.m. Thursday, March 5th, 2020, and date is 1:06. Members present are Representative Rankin, Representative Edgewood, Vice Chair, Representative Ortiz, and myself, Representative Zelkowski, Chair. Let the record reflect that we are about to conduct business. Please take this time to silence your cell phones for the duration of the meeting. Before we begin, I would like to thank Jimmy Buter, the House Chairman of our Secretary of Records, and Doug Bridges for doing a while for stuffing the committee today. Tonight, we will be having a public hearing about the House Bill Committee 7 by Representative Cobb wanting to pledge public safety officer grants. Due to time constraints and our 9:00 floor session, we will not be taking public testimony on House Bill 287 today. On Tuesday, Representative Cobb and Ann Stewart, staff to Representative Cobb, presented the initial version of House Bill 287 and mentioned some changes that they would like to see made to the version that they presented. Today, committee members haven't voted on the committee subject for House Bill 287. At this time, I would entertain a motion for the committee to adopt the committee substitute for House Bill 287.
Good morning, Madam Chair. I move the term of first committee adopt the planning committee substitute for House Bill 287, report number 3-1. Yes, LX1486, /G, and the top of the document.
I will object to the purpose of discussion. Mr. Chair, if you could put yourself on the record and walk us through the bill and the changes on this case.
His regards and debts for not being here, so as you may know, his oldest son is graduating from high school this year, and at the school there are several landmark events that are taking place, and he just wants to be there with his wife and his son to share those together. So I'll be walking through the changes and the new committee substitutes before you, and we've provided you two documents. One is a document that shows two changes, and you've probably already noticed that there's a big blur behind that. And the reason for that is when we released the blank CS to the chair's office in England, when her office requested it, it automatically got a new backslash letter. So G and E are identical documents, so the compare document will come to that. At the time I requested this, but I didn't have the authorization for the G version. So I went with what we had. Nobody tells me he didn't ask for any additional changes than what we got, so they're identical documents. So if they're not, it's not worth it. The working group report. And this will help explain all the changes coming up. This is from the next two reports. The regulations that are currently in effect, and we put in appendix 2, this trap change version because it reflects changes that the department had were intending to make, but before we set the work group, they just decided to put those changes on hold, but we thought it would be a fair reflection of where the program was heading to include this into the report. So it shows in the trap changes in the blue. Changes that the department's going to make, but they're not yet in effect. There's one rule that will help explain what changes that may request in the committee substitute. So I'll just get right into it. There are not that many changes for the committee to look at. The first change that you will see is on page 4. You can see, and this is the repeal that we are at working on. 1865-67, which is the current statute for the ESM program. Starting on line 3, you can see what the strikeout is there after safety officers. And then the rest of subsection A, all those duties and functions are removed from the section. And there's a new statutory section in section 4 at the end of the bill on page 14. And if you recall, we have requested some additional language into this part. We just kind of tipped over in the chapters line, and so I was just creating these 14 when we get to them. The next change is on page 5. You can see essentially what that is reflecting is the striking of subsection E, what was E in the original bill version. And that's where I would like to get your attention to this regulation document. So it's kind of changes it. You should have it put it on two sides. The first page to look at it is 13 AAC 96040. So what is in E is a version of the regulation 040 and 050, the next regulation. And when we were looking at this and coming up with the recommendations, we were looking at the regulations that are currently in effect, and when we worked with the bill drafters, one of the requests that we made was to try and take what we thought was some overall prescriptive language of the current regulations and some pejorative language and tone and just make it all more neutral. And you try to see that in 13 AAC 96040. Everything is kind of written in the negative for the grantees. And if you look at that file on the back side of that page, this really is the heart of what is in the E, which we asked to be struck. And part of our thinking and working with the grantees is they're these federal governments who combat with the federal government. They're doing pretty much complete design and redesign for the departments that they contact with. And so we're trying to create and build as much flexibility as we can, recognizing that we're still dealing with the state grant program. And with a grant program, there's only so far that you can go, but we're trying to get to as much flexibility for the IT organizations as we can. And so, personally, what was to just to have E taken out of the bill is, I don't know that we really need to dictate to the IT organizations the precise document that they have between the villages and receiving an EPSO. In our minds, we can leave that to them to, they know the villages that they serve in their region, and they'll have a better sense of the kind of agreements that they want to have between themselves and the IT organizations and the villages. So that was the reason that we requested E to be taken out, to just increase the flexibility that the grantee organizations would have as they manage this program. I'll just kind of pause there for a moment.
I
would
like to say that the revised language in the new section 2E does address the potential stealing allegations of design cost committee.
I
appreciate the
adjustment
language
in that section. Right. Thank you, Madam Chair. That's correct. It was F has now become E, and then everything that follows in this section will be renumbered accordingly. But yes, this was the proposal that we were discussing on Tuesday. And you can see there that the question that we had in putting this together is exactly also in the regulations. How the decisions are made to approve or not approve the PSO position. This regulation that this comes from seems to indicate that there's the staffing standard is one EPSO officer per village. And at some point, you're going to run under appropriation, so that will also be the limiting factor on how many EPSOs an organization might get. But in terms of number of residents equals Y number of EPSO officers, we don't really see anything metric like that. So this kind of capturing a metric or a standard of staff and saying, if you're in the village, it needs an EPSO, okay, then put that in your contact information. And then at some point, the funding will dictate how much staff goes out there to the regions. But this is also in the spirit of allowing the grantee organizations to have more flexibility with this. Here's the standard for staffing, but if you need more than one, all I have to do is ask you, and you can move them around. So without even asking, if you need more than that, all I have to do is could be used is also used later in the bill. This is what we described, creating flexibility in the funding to legal and drafters of the language in line 30. This kind of language that they came up with, essentially starting in the 28th Department of Commerce. They approved the request for additional funding if the grant recipient provides justification reasonably related to the duties of the public safety officer and other public safety needs. So that's our intent is to signify that that is a pretty broad standard for what can receive funding. Moving on to page 6, up at the page, line 2, says we removed what was sort of section E, the last clause in the CC, is no longer necessary. Line 13, going down, number 4, paragraph 3, you can see we struck the reference to the Department of Commerce. And this provision is in the existing DPS regulation, and this is a function that DPS is currently performing site visits. And so, with the bill drafter, when we document and also introducing the Department of Commerce into this program, wasn't exactly sure where all the references to Commerce would be to go, and we think we have to grant you organizations that this kind of introduces application for land. I'm not quite sure, based on the language here, what role either department would have in these site visits. And so, in the interest of keeping the program as close to how it is now, we just requested that the reference to the Department of Commerce be taken out, because then the way it reads is it's a very familiar concept that demonstrates from the current DPS regulation. Number 4, I think I mentioned on Tuesday when we walked through the bill that there is an issue in drafting, because the current DPSO statute refers to the rural areas called in Florida as a definition in the current existing DPSO statute. The regulations themselves don't use that term rural area, they use the term villages. And so, I mean, picking the term that they're going to deal with, there are some strong references to village into the bill draft, and this is one of those. So we're just, again, for the sake of consistency and clarity, I think it should go out and then be removed. And then on line 18, again, there's a reference to the subsection E that no longer exists, or the following subsection E no longer exists. Not sure. That's a good question, and that was one of the questions that actually the grantee organizations asked us after the bill was introduced, because the term was actually confusing to them too, because it isn't the word grant, and they were saying, well, we don't, there are other places where this word appears in the bill, and it makes it seem like there might be a village law. So we're just thinking, let's keep us at the grant recipient level. The specific provision is talking about compliance with the grant requirements. And so we just want to be able to keep that level at the grant key itself, rather than trying at the department level, dig into sub-recipients of the grant, I guess, if you would say. The next concept is item 24 on the same page. And this is the consultation opinion that in the subsection is from the existing statute within this consultation language on item 24 is the only substantive change that is added by members in here. So we're going to know that this is existing language from the existing statute in this consultation language, which is our original bill draft. And then you can see on the next page on volume 2, in reference to the Commissioner of Corrections, grantees asked us to make it clear that that's a mere responsibility of the departments that are involved in this program. So that's why the consultation language. The consultation language of all the departments also appears to be in the statute or the bill, but it's the argument point to make it consistent all the way throughout. So that's why that's there. Biomedical claims on page 12, that reflects the new statute that was page 312. If the reference to the new statute, that's the other that has the language that was pulled out of the earlier section, and that's where we go to the next. If you turn to page 14, this is now the proposed new statute in all the language that you can see. Starting on line 12 is the language that was taken from the earlier bill on the prior version. And the language that we asked to be introduced starts there on line 9. And then it's probably changed the officer to the power of the officer of the state or municipality. And that is language that mirrors the current department and trooper statute. So it's just reinforcing the fact that we're now giving the PSOs this law enforcement designation. And so we're making that status identical, and at least for this peace officer, the status the same. It is in the same language that comes from the trooper statute. Thank you. Actually, we to this year. We have Mike and Dennis on the phone, and the language that you see here is language that the grantee organizations requested. So maybe he can speak to that in a little better sense than I did, but I think it'd be interesting to ask for you. He can speak to that.
And he is going to be taking questions after
finally, the project updates on 9.6 is also aside from the trooper statute. And in the trooper statute, it's actually next to the language that you see that has on line 10. So in the trooper statute, there is just one big clause or sentence, but it's just added to the powers and duties that the ADS allow. Something that's not in there that requires it is the ability to, there's a reference in the motor vehicle statutes that also that allow all municipal officers and troopers to enforce the motor vehicle driving laws. I'm not sure why that didn't get into this draft, but we wanted to make it clear that the PSOs have that authority as well. So we'll be talking with legal about that.
Any other questions from the members? Thank you. What is your question?
Does that evaluation process currently take place under the current guidelines for 150 officers here for the cases?
The chair of the board chiefs. It's in the current regulation, whether it happens or not. That's in the regulation. Mr. Hewitt can answer that for you.
Any other questions for the bill changes? Seeing none, I'm going to remove my objection to adopting this list. Is there any further objection? Seeing none, this list has been adopted. I believe that the Public Safety Coordinator for Evolution for Black Women Association is on the line to provide clarification on a couple of items from Tuesday's hearings. And Mr. Newman, you may have heard a couple of the questions that we're hoping you can refer to. I can respond to today. If you could go ahead by begin by putting yourself on the record.
Good morning, Madam Chair. My name is Michael Lee.
Program that we did the department of the communities to do an annual visit. That's and how we can reach them, how should we expect that they will provide support and flexibility in the community when it needed as needed. Which means that if you wanted to continue with your clarification of some content that was shared in Tuesday's coming.
Yes, Madam Chair.
Thank you. And can you discuss, is there any duty for grantees? teams have any concerns about challenges with regard to recruitment, by increasing these training hours, or is this something that provides better certainty for the individuals that are applying to the program?
Good question, Madam Chair. I believe some of the advocates do believe it will be an issue with recruitment and retention, and that's kind of why the Department of Public Safety selected after, as we had conversations with two entities of the 10. But the reality of it is, it was interesting that I was in a FedEx community here in the testimony just last week or a week before. And the department put a slide that showed that we actually had more officers in our academy during the time we had BAWIC than we did with this academy, the first academy since we went back to the building. So it's an empty officer academy. We've had more officers, actually more officers attend, more officers graduate, and more officers stay on. And then the last two regular PPSL academies. So that was interesting to me because I don't have access to that kind of data on a regular basis. I just see it out there. I've always been a firm believer that we're trying to do better, especially when you're in the community trying to do a multifaceted public safety job. You are the only one that can do it. You don't have that. You don't have someone there to necessarily ask for help when you need it. So I think it's for being able to provide a better service to the community, for officer safety, and it's just a better all-around idea. You want to put a better officer, and I'm sure you might end up with a better value.
Thank you, Mr. Druitt, for calling in and for joining me this morning. Mr. Druitt, any further comments or clarification to provide to the committee today?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thanks for reviewing the bill.
Thank you. That concludes the work that we have in front of us this morning. Our next meeting will be Tuesday, March 10th, at the Dennis Room 6. We will be having the third hearing on House Bill 287 and 30 public testimony.